Boker Tov, and welcome back to our continuing series of the study of Daf Yomi. We're on Chagiga, Daf Dalad Amud Bet, and we have a passage today which is largely agadic. I'm going to try to finish this podcast just before the Yom Tov of Shi'i Shel Pesach, which means most of you will not be catching this until Tuesday or Wednesday. Rav Huna, Kimati Lahai Kra. The first passage that we have, as I indicated on the page, which is Rubo Mikra and Mi'ut Outline, which is mainly a bunch of the list of psukim, is the first section is a series of psukim that different Amoraim, when they would read those psukim in Tanakh, they would weep, either because of the implication of the pasuk or because of how far from that ideal we have fallen. Rav Huna Kimati Lahai Kra Yireh Yeireh Bachi. When he would get to the obligation of Riyah, he would cry. Here's a master who loves to see his servant, and now the master is far away. He quotes the verse in Yeshayahu. The God says, essentially, I'm not interested in your visiting because it's sinful. So there's another one that Rav Huna would cry at. You should come to the Beit HaMikdash and eat shlamim, and eat there, and to rejoice there. A servant whose master anticipates and eagerly awaits him eating at his table has distanced himself. In that same prophecy, God says, what do I need all your korbanot? So Belazar, this was of Tveria, would cry, when Yosef finally revealed himself to his brothers, they were stunned into silence. Chazal understand that when Yosef says, Ani Yosef, there is an implicit rebuke to the brother's behavior. And here is the rebuke of a human being of flesh and blood. And they couldn't answer. How much more so we will not be able to respond when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes us. The passage in Midrash Rabbah says, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochecha. Another pasuk. When in the famous scene in Shmuel Aleph Chavchet, where Shaul, unable to get in divine guidance as to how to conduct the war with the Plishtim, finally consults a necromancer and raises Shmuel from the dead, Shmuel gets angry and says, why have you bothered me to wake me up? The understanding here is, Umar Shmuel Tzadika Yemit Maremin Adin, the notion was that by raising Shmuel from the dead, he was, in effect, summoning him to be judged in the heavenly court. And Shmuel Tzaddik was afraid. Anu, alachad kam v'chad, how much more should we be afraid? Now, Shmuel Mahi, how do we know that that was the case with Shmuel? Tichtiv, atomai shayel Shaul, Elohim ra'iti olim. When Shmuel asks, Shaul asks the necromancer, what did you see? She said, I saw Elohim, we'll have to read this as lords, rising. Olim trei mashma. There were two. What is it, olim? So what did she see? She saw Shmuel, and she saw Moshe that Shmuel went to get. Because Shmuel thought that he was being summoned to justice, to court. So he summoned Moshe as a witness to testify that there's not one thing that he had written in the Torah that Shmuel had not fulfilled. In Eichat says a person should fill his mouth with dirt. Perhaps there's some hope. In other words, all the activities of mourning, and then perhaps there's hope. Amar kule hai v'ulai, all of this, and then just maybe. Bi'ami kimati lai kra bachi. Another pasuk. Bakshut sedek, bakshu anava, ulai tisatru b'yom ha'adonai. Seek out justice, and perhaps you will be saved. When God is angry, Amar kule hai v'ulai, all of this, and just maybe. Biasi, a colleague of Rabbi Ami, kimati lai kra bachi. This is how he would cry. Sinu ravi avuto vatsigu vashar mishpat ulai yechanan adonai lo yitzvaot. So hate, evil, love, goodness, present justice in the court. Maybe God will have compassion. Kuli havi ulai, again, all of this and just maybe. V'yosef kimati lai kra bachi. V'yesh nispe below mishpat. There are those who die without justice. So he asked the question, is it possible that someone dies not in the right time? So we have a story that supports that. Somebody dies without justice. Ki hadrav Bibi Barabaya have a shchiach kami malach hamavet. Bibi Barabaya was consulting with the malach hamavet. Amar lein l'shluchei. So he heard that the malach hamavet said to his agent, Zil aiti li Miriam migdal aser nishaya. Go get me Miriam, who takes care of the hair of women. Azal aiti li Miriam migdal dardiki. Instead, he got the wrong Miriam, a Miriam who took care of little children. Amar le ana Miriam migdal aser nishaya amrilach. And so he, the malach hamavet said to his agent, I told you to go get me the hairdresser. Amar le yachi adra. So he said, all right, so I'll take this one back. Amar le hoyel vaitite lahave the minyana. No, he said, you brought her already, so we'll kill her. So how are you going to be able to take her if her time hasn't come? The answer was she was taking a log in her hand. She was stoking the oven. So she put it down. He guided it to be put down on the back of her foot. She got a very bad burn and things went bad for her. And then she died. So that's how this woman who was mistakenly brought to the Malach HaMavet died not in her right time. Amar le Rabbi Rabbi, so Rabbi Rabbi turned to the Malach HaMavet and said, "Eat lechu reshut le'avarachi, are you allowed to do this?" Amar le velokti v'yeshnis pebelo mishpat, he quoted the pasuk in Kohelet. Amar le vaktiv dor lech v'dor ba, but it also says in Kohelet, a generation comes and a generation goes, meaning everybody goes in their right time. Amar d'ra'ina lehu ana ad d'mali lehu l'dara. So here's what I do. I treat them badly until the time is up. In other words, they die, but they're in some sort of a limbo until their time is fully up, and then I hand them over to Duma, who's the Malach in charge of dead. Amale sof sof shani mayavit. So what do you do with her years that have been cut short? Mari ikat sum rabbanan demave b'mile. If I find a Tamid Chacham who is easygoing and is and it does not stand on his own rights, mosif lehu lei, I add those years to him. And then that becomes the proper switch or trade. Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan got to this pasuk, he would cry. This is when God is talking to the Satan at the beginning of Sefer Iyov. God says, "Have you seen my beautiful Iyov? You have pushed me or you have provoked me to kill him for no reason." An eved, a slave whose master is being provoked to kill him and is able to be provoked. Takana Yeshlo, does he have any way out? That will become the theme of the next few psukim. Takana Yeshlo. V'yochanan kematel haikrabachi. He came to this pasuk. Hein bekodoshav lo yamin. A pasuk in Iyov that says God does not even trust his angels. He bekodoshav lo yamin b'man yamin. So who can he trust? V'chara v'ko'azo b'orcha chazi lohu gavad aviman ki ta'ini. One day he was walking and he saw a fellow collecting figs. Shavik hanach dematu, v'shakel hanach de lo matu. He left the ones that were ripe, and he took the ones that were not ripe. Marle lavani malin tvei. So Rabbi Yochanan said to this fellow, "Aren't the ripe ones better?" Marle hani lo urcha bainelo. I'm going on a trip. Hani natron v'hani lo natron. He said, "These keep the ones that aren't ripe. Keep." Ma'ani nechtim hein b'doshav lo yamin. That's why it says hein b'doshav lo yamin. Right. In other words, that there are some people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes early, like these fruit that were not yet ripe, because he doesn't trust that they're going to stay loyal, and in the meantime, they're loyal young, so he takes them as is. Right? So now, Aini, is that true that Hashem takes people before their time to make sure that they die pure? V'ha'ahu tamid adam v'shevut ed Rabbi Alexandri. There was a student in Rabbi Alexandri's neighborhood. V'shachi bar azutar, he died young. This student could have lived a long life, but he did the wrong thing. Why did he say that? Maybe this guy was a pure guy who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take him in his purity. The answer is this was a student who really was rebellious. He was not a good student in that way, in his character. And therefore, he said, had he behaved better, he would have lived longer. Rabbi Yochanan came out to the high crowd, Rabbi Yochanan cried this pasuk in Malachi. God says, I'm going to judge you. I will be a swift witness. I'm against the witches, manafim, and the adulterers, and the people who lie, perjure themselves, and the people who withhold payment from daily workers. In other words, God is equating here people who do the most heinous of crimes along with those who do crimes which are certainly serious, but not as terrible. So the first comment he makes is, here is a servant to the master is rushing him into justice. Does he have any hope? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai earlier had commented on this pasuk. Says, woe to us that the text equates light sins with heavy sins, and all of them heavy, as it were. So, commenting further on the pasuk, he says, anybody who corrupts the case of a ger, of a stranger, is as if he is corrupting the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shenemar umate ger. Right? In that same pasuk, look on the page, umate ger, umati ktiv. Almost to say they're corrupting me, not corrupting him. But there is a nice message in the pasuk. Anybody who does something bad and regrets it, he's forgiven immediately. Shneimar v'lo yireyuni. At the end of that whole long list, it says, and they don't fear me. Ha yireyuni mochlin la'miyad. So I would forgive them if they feared me, but they do these sins and they'd have no compunctions about them, and they have no regret afterwards. That's why I'm going to be judging them so harshly. B'yochanan kimatil ha'i kra b'achi. B'yochanan cried this pasuk. God will bring everything to justice, even everything that is hidden. He understands that this means everything, including things done inadvertently. Does a servant whose master is going to consider all of his things, including inadvertent sins, to be that serious, does he have any hope? So, what does that mean, Al-Kol Ne'alam? Rav Zeh Orei Kina B'Fnei Chavero V'Nimaspa. This refers even to somebody who kills a louse in front of his friend, and it's disgusting. In other words, doing a very light thing that the very simple thing, but nonetheless, that makes the other person upset. Shmuel Amar Zeharak b'fnei chavero v'nimas. Or perhaps it's somebody who spits in the presence of his friend, and it makes him upset. Ma'im tov imra, why does the last few words, this is the end of Kohelet, why does it say im tov v'imra, whether good or bad? Amid v'erbiyana izeh noten staka le'ani b'farhesya. This is referring to somebody who gives an ani money publicly in front of other people. Kihadro biyana, this is not talking about people who come around publicly to collect, talking about somebody who seeks out the ani and makes a very big public gesture about his giving. Kihadro biyana chazia lehu gavra de koyoiv zuza la ani befarhesia. Biyana saw a guy giving money to an ani very publicly. Amar le mutav de lo yavda le mihashta de yavda le mihsafte. It would have been better if you'd not given to him rather than giving it to him now and embarrassing him. The Rabbi Shila Amri, they had a different take. Im tov imra, zanotein staka liisha b'seiter. It's the opposite of giving staka to a woman in secret. Gamaiti la l'dech shada. The upshot of it is that even though you've given her a little staka, now everybody suspects her of illicit affair. Rava marzem shager liishto basar shenu mechutach b'yarei shabbatot. It's somebody who's at the butcher shop on Friday and sends meat to his wife that isn't properly cut up, erev Shabbat. One way or the other, there's going to be some lack of pleasantness. Either she's not going to prepare it properly in the house, or she will, and in one way or the other, it's not going to work out well. V'ha Rava Meshagar, I Rava used to do it. Shani Bat Rav Chista, the Kimle Begava de Bikia. Because after all, the problem with sending this meat is that women are not experts in Nikur, and then the taking out of the Gita Nasha, the sinew. And so the wife will end up not doing it because she doesn't want her husband to be upset. Rava would do it because his wife, who was Rav Chista's daughter, knew how to take out how to do Nikur. B'yochanan kimati l'hai kra b'achir. B'yochanan cried this pasuk. V'yaki timsano tol ra'ot ravot v'tzarot. This is at the end of Sefer Dvarim in Parshat Vayelech, where he says, and when all those terrible things come and happen, the song of Hazinu will be testimony. Evet sh'rava mamtsilo ra'ot v'tzarot takoni yeshlo. A slave whose master is finding more things, bad things to him, and creating more problems for him. Does he have any help? My ra'ot v'tzarot, what does that mean? Amarav ra'ot shenasot tzarot zulazu. This takes us to the meaning of the word tzarot that we'll get to in a couple of weeks when we begin Masachet Yevamot. Ra'ot that become like competing wives to each other. Gon zibura ve'akraba. Right? Like a bee. And a hornet and a scorpion, right? Evidently the therapy that for one is an imitation to the other. So like it's the oimi le brayo migvai. I have trouble inside. I have trouble outside. Everywhere I turn, I have troubles. This is somebody who helps an ani out only after he didn't help him out when he just asked for it, but now when he's in real trouble, he asks for money because somebody else is coming after him. So you give him the money, and immediately the creditor comes and takes it from him. That's the famous saying that people say, that you don't have enough money for food, but you do have enough money when the guy's hanging up, being hung up and saying, you know, pay up or else. So in other words, you people who help somebody at that kind of moment, so in other words, somebody is going to be in a situation where they're going to owe money, and then somebody else will give them tzedakah, but immediately it's going to go to their creditor. Further on in that parsha, Vayelach, it says, V'chara apivo v'yomahum, my anger will kindle against him on that day. And I will leave them, and I will hide my face. Anybody who is not behester panim, meaning anybody who at a time like that is doing well, is not Mi'am Yisrael. In other words, when God hides his face from Am Yisrael, that means anybody who is not experiencing that is not Mi'am Yisrael. Anybody who is not, when Am Yisrael is being oppressed, is not me Israel. I'm really Rabbanan the Rava. Mar lo b'ester panimite, lo b'vayal acholite. So Rabbanan said to Rava, you haven't suffered neither of those ways. How do you know how much secretly how much bribery I've had to send to the king in order to leave me alone? And nonetheless, the rabbis looked at Rava, and right at that moment, the messengers of Shavar Malka came and they plundered his house. This is something we saw a little earlier. Anywhere that the Chachamim looked, either it led to death when they looked at that kind of glare, or to poverty. In this case, luckily, it was only poverty. Anochi aster astir panei bayomahu. God says, I will hide my face on that day. Nonetheless, I still speak to them in dreams. This will lead to the next story. God's hand is still over us, protecting us, even though he's hidden his face. The next pasuk on the page, God says, I have protected you with the shadow of my hand. It's the story of Yeshua ben Hananya, who was in the Kesar's house. This probably means the governor in Judea. So there was a particular Christian who was standing there, and he made hand signals. This is a very common Christian claim in the first couple centuries. This is the nation that their master has turned away from them. The rejection of Israel, of course. Achvilei, so Rav Yeshua ben Hananya demonstrated back in some sort of a charade. Yadona tu yaleinu, his hand is still over us. So I'm like, Kesar Rav Yeshua. So the Kesar asked Rav Yeshua, my Achvilach, what did he show you? What did he interpret it? Amad Adrina Marila Apemine. So he interpreted, he said that what he was showing me was a nation that's got their master has turned their back. His back on them. And I showed him, Yadona Tuyalin, his hand is still protecting us. So then they asked the Christian, what did he show you? So he said, this is what I showed him. And what did he show you? I didn't understand it. A guy who doesn't even understand simple hand signals should stand in front of the king. They took him out and they killed him. So now Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who was clearly very successful at disputing against the early Christians, he died. The Rabbanan said, so as he was dying, the rabbi said, what are we going to do about the Christians? Well, you're the most brilliant disputant. When the wisdom is gone from the children, when the counsel is gone from the children, their wisdom is dissipated. The answer, the read of this pasuk is, Kemen Shavdai Tzami Banim, once the children's counsel is gone, Yisrocha Chochmatan Shal Mot Olam, the wisdom of the nations also diminishes. Vayitam Miachor, if you wish, we'll take from the pasuk from Yaakov and Esav, Yerisam Nelecha V'alcham Negdecha, I'll walk parallel with you. In other words, Yaakov's, as opposed to the approach that Yerushalayim and Kesari, one has to be up and one has to be down, here the idea is that they always work in tandem. When Am Yisrael is real brilliant, so they're brilliant. But when we lose a great leader and our brilliance is somewhat diminished, so is theirs, and we'll be able to still contend with them. He's walking up the steps. He heard a kid reading a pasuk. Pasuk from Amos. The one who creates mountains and wind tells a man what he's talking about. So Rav Ila said, a master who repeats to his servant what he says, does he have any hope? He knows everything he says. My masecho, what does it mean? Even something superfluous, an extra discussion that a man had even with his wife, according to some Rishonim, this means even an intimacy, and we'll see from the next why they say that from the next passage, that they repeat to him. In other words, a person should be very circumspect about what he says. Aini, is that true? Kahana vegoni tute pur yedirav. This is one of those very interesting stories about Rav Kahana, who was sleeping, who was hiding under the bed of Rav. He heard him engaging in quite a bit of foreplay before having relations with his wife. He cried out. He said, Rav is like someone who's never had anything to eat. In other words, you're behaving, as it were, like a lustful youth. Marley Kahana Puk, Bavor Achara. He told him, get out of here. It's not appropriate for you to be here. So, but nonetheless, we saw that he did say so. Lokasha Khan de Tsarach Ritsuya. If you have to appease her in order to fulfill your conjugal obligations, which involve sexual satisfaction, then that's okay, but just tamazoina. So Yirmiyahu says, if you don't hear this quietly, then I will weep. Well, what does this mean? Kodesh Baruch Hu has a place which he calls Mistarim. What does it mean? I cry because of Gevah. Because of the pride of the Jewish people that's been taken away and given to the nations, foreigners. Because of the pride of the heavens, of Machut Shemayim, that has been diminished. Since when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu weep? Our Papa ain't not civil defending HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's always joy in God's place. You're right. Externally, Kodesh Baruch is always happy, but internally there may be room for weeping. Even outside, there's no weeping. God cried that there should be. God declared that there should be weeping and crying, etc. Shani churban beit hamikdash tefil malachei shalom bachu. Henrelim tzaku chutza malachei shalom. Mar Yivka Yunus. We see from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, even the angels wept over the destruction. I cry and I weep because God's flock has been taken captive. I cry and I weep and my ears fall with tears. Why are there three mentions of Dema here? One for the first Beit HaMikdash, one for the second Beit HaMikdash, a third for the exile. Yeramri achar al bitul Torah, or possibly because of the nullification, the diminution and the cancellation of Torah as a result. So Bishlam Amar Yisrael Shagalu and Nachtiv Kinishba Yidur Adonai. I understand the opinion, the one who says that it's over the captivity, and says they were taken captive. So that's exile. Mandam al bitul Torah, my Kinishba Yidur Adonai. But if you say that they're weeping because of, God is weeping because of the captivity, then how can you say that that's Bitul Torah? The answer is, Kevan Shegalu Yisrael Mekoman, Ein Lecha Bitul Torah, Gadol Mizeh. This is a very, very profound and deep statement, but our forum doesn't allow for profundity, much profundity. So just translate simply in one little line that once Am Yisrael is exiled from their place, there is no greater Bitul Torah than that. The simplest read of that is, of course, that once Am Yisrael is exiled, study and transmission of tradition becomes very difficult. On the other hand, Bitul Torah, written in a larger sense, understood in a larger sense, meaning the fulfillment of the ideals of Torah, cannot be accomplished when Am Yisrael are not in their place. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bochei Aleihem B'chol Yom. There's three for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu weeps every day. Al Shefshar La'asok B'Torah Ve'Nosek, somebody who could study Torah and doesn't. Al She'efshar La'asok B'Torah Ve'Osek, somebody who has no ability to study and nonetheless makes the time to study. Parnasa mitkaelat tzibur, or for a leader who lords himself over the community. Rabbi Avinachit Sefer Kinot v'Karkari b'Gavei. Rabbi was holding Eicha and reading it. Imat alai psuka, when he got to this pasuk, he shlich b'shamayim eretz, God is sent down great nation, the glory from heavens down to earth, Nafal min yadei, the Megillah fell from his hands. Amar mi igra ram levera mikta. He said, from a high tower to a low pit. Not well-known saying. Rebbe v'rbichia, amushakli v'azli b'urcha. They're walking on the way. Kimatu lahu mata amri, they came to a place. Amri tzuvar abonin hacha, there's a talmid chacham here. Nezam v'nikbalape, let's go greet him. Amri, so they said, ikatzuvar abonin hacha, umori naim. According to another version, he was blind. Or the Rebbe, Chia the Rebbe, so Bichia, the student said to Rebbe, Tivat, you stay here. Lo tezalzel b'nsiutach. Don't degrade your position as nasi. Ezel ana va'akbil ape. I'll go greet him. Tokfe va'azabahade. So Rebbe grabbed on and went with him. Kiav miftarimine, when they were leaving him, Amarlahu atemik baltem panimanir imveinam roim. You came to greet somebody who can be seen and can't see. Tizkulak bil panima roim veinam nirim. You should be zoche to receive the face of the one who sees and is not seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rebbe said to Rebbe Chia, if I had listened to you, you would have kept me from this beautiful bracha. Amru le miman shmi alach. So they asked this fellow, who do you hear this bracha from? Pirkei de Rabbi Yaakov shmi ali. The Rabbi Yaakov ish kfar chitayav in makabel ape de Rabbe kol yoma. I learned this lesson from Rabbi Yaakov, who used to go visit his Rebbe every day. Kash amarle, when Rabbi Yaakov got old, his Rebbe said to him, Lo nitzdar mar, don't trouble yourself. To lo yachil mar, it's hard for you. Marle mizuter maydichtivo rabbanon v'chiyodan etzach l'ra'a shachat k'yirecha chamim yamutu. The way he reads those two psukim together, which are grouped together on the page, is that a man lives forever when he sees chachamim dead. Umaru echachamim mitatan yichya. Somebody who sees chachamim when they're dead will live forever. Chayen alachat kama v'chama. I see you when you're alive. How much more so? Don't keep me from that. Famous story. He used to take a trip and go 3 months, and he'd go and study in Rav's house one day, and then go 3 months back. They used to call him Barbe Rav de Chad Yom, right? The one day student. Chalash Dati got very upset when he heard this. Kari Anafshe Schok Reiwe, he said, I'm a laughing stock. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, he said, don't punish them. Don't be mad with them. Mad at them. But then I'll correct them. Nafak Rabbi Yochanan levei midrash v'dar. So Rabbi Yochanan went out and taught. Oti yom yom yidrashun v'dat v'chayich patsun. They seek me every day. Yom dorshinoto v'layla in dorshinoto. What, they only seek me day and not night? This teaches you that somebody studies Torah even one day a year. It's as if he studied all year. Chen midat puranut. Same thing in the negative. That you're going to suffer for as long as they went in the desert, in the trip of Israel. This is the Chetam Raglim. I'm Shana Chatu. But they didn't go for 40 years. They only went for 40 days. I'm Yom Chatu. So it's considered as if each one of those 40 days is a year, and therefore the punishment is for 40 years. Now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ezu katan kol shenah cholach chovak tefos shel aviv." That's Beit Shammah. So matki thora bizeira. Aracha manatye. If a kid can't even get up on his father's shoulders, how do you get to Yerushalayim? Amar le'abaye aracha de mechay ve'ime v'simcha until Yerushalayim. After all, his mother has to come, as we said in the first year, to Yerushalayim for simcha. So aititayime, his mother brought him. Kadva elachim yachol alot lechos biyado shel aviv Yerushalayim arba'i duchayavi lo patur. So from there, if he can make it on his father's shoulders, according to Beit Shammai, or holding his father's hand, according to Beit Hillel, then he's chayav, otherwise he's patur. So Heishi Rebbe Tachat Beit Hillel. So Rebbe answered for Beit Hillel against Beit Shammai. Rebbe Shammai, v'chana lo alata ki amra li'ishad yigamela nav av yotiv. When Shmuel was born, Chana did not go on the yearly trip of Elkanah's family. He said, when he's older, I'll take it. Shmuel, the yachol l'kol aktivo shel aviv ave, he was certainly somebody who could ride on his father's shoulders. So they asked the question, why didn't Chana herself go? Isn't she obligated to go and celebrate? Chana recognized extra delicacy in Shmuel. She was afraid that the trip would be too much for her. Let's say you have a young child who is lame, according to Beit Shammai. Or a blind person, according to both of them. Now remember, each one of them could go up in that fashion. A lame kid could go on the shoulders, and a blind person could go on shoulders or getting walked. Mao, are they chayav? So, hechidam, either mechigar shenecholi pashev, suma shenecholi pateach, if we're talking about a lame person who's never going to get better, and a blind person who's never going to see, so even as an adult, he'd be exempt. Certainly, we won't ask if he would be exempt as a katan. So, lo tzricha, t'chiger she'achol li'pashed, v'suma she'achol li'pateach. Talking about a lame person who may get better, and a blind person who may eventually see. My, on the page, I laid out with the two lemmas of the argument. The answer is anybody who is in a present status, we train him midorabanan. But anybody who is pater midoraita midorabanan katan nami pater, as a katan, he is also exempt. Okay, we will continue after the chag. Chag sameach.